settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Through our gift of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. Through mixed deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing structures of the universe, and this is part two. I think we're going to be venturing into out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences and things like that. So we do welcome your calls. And if you have anything, actually, that you would like to discuss that revolves around this subject, we'd like to hear from you. The toll-free lines are open, and in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and that's 001-530-876-3222.
As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, maybe order an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, every week, each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay always has plenty to say, and regular listeners will know that. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss everything. I'll catch up on it later, maybe, when I get to hear it. Anyway, this is because I'm going to be the instrument, and I have to wait until I hear the recorded show. So anyway, I'm going to pass it back over to Sylvie now, and I hope you all have a great experience, and please do join in with the discussion if you have a point to make, whatever that is. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. All right, then. I'll say goodbye for this week, then. Goodbye.
Thanks, Nick. Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team, as I said, and they have come to give us access to information that we may need to know in order to move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this isn't Mick passing information from a non-physical entity. It's completely lights out for Mick, and the spirit guide Gregory Hay is with us as the complete control and the complete mind and thoughts of Gregory Hay. So, as Nick said, if you'd like to find out more about us from our website, the number, the address is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm getting all my words mixed up. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey, my friend.
Thank you. you. You're not going to get your words mixed up, are you?
No, I don't have any words, friend, only thoughts and feelings and issuances from the group who are assembled here, the many thousands of beings who are a part of this evocation, if you like, of the goodwill of love and energy and vibration from the spirit world.
Okay. Well, I think you have a slight advantage on me then.
Oh, only slight, my friend.
Okay. Well, I'd like to start, actually, by just picking up on something that I read when I was doing some research earlier on. I read that it's a common perception that basically the etheric body, that basically all human beings have a duplicate etheric body, which is they call the astral body, which is an exact copy of our physical body and survives death. Would you say that's a good description? Because they say that it's this astral duplicate that sometimes goes on nighttime joints, as in out-of-body experiences or something like that. This is the way that they explain it, that it's the astral body that is the duplicate that leaves the real body. Because when we were discussing it last week, you were saying it's slightly different to that.
Well, yes.
And I just thought it would be good to discuss, the other alternatives that people are thinking.
Yes, I understand that. That is because people have an attention of what they think their conscious body is and what they think the spirit is, and that somehow in a bridge to try to bring the relationship of one and the other, it is supposed or suggested that there is some astral body which then must be the consciousness, or rather the embodiment of the physical journey, incarnate, if you will, then having a journey in the outer body experience. This being, of course, because it is suggested by all in physical life that it is impossible for the physicality in any other way to leave the physical body whilst having that journey, unless it is of some sort of amorphic state, some kind of situation which is dressed up like a different consciousness, or maybe it is supposed to be a carbon copy or an imprint of that body which you presently physically exude. My point here is that is really just a play on words of what is the consciousness.
Mm.
Why don't you call it what it is? Why do you have to dress it up in some thing and say, well, it's an astral body then. It can't possibly be my consciousness. It has to be something else. Give it another name. Give it another structure, another thought form, and make it complicated.
Well, yes, but so you're saying that your consciousness and your mind are is the thing that surrounds your body, within and without.
Yes, absolutely so. And it will be, and it is, at any moment of any time, in your conscious memory or thought perseverance that you have in physical life, that when it is that you wish to have an out-of-body experience, it is your consciousness which leaves. It's not some other body, some other type or form, which is, in a sense, shed off of the main physical body. That is actually a wrong way of stating it, quite simply because it means that intimates that the consciousness is still there.
Yes, well, yes.
When in actual fact, you could quite possibly maybe even interrupt the body sleep, but actually find that the consciousness still takes some time to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that some people have the situation sensations, perhaps, of where they're falling or whatever it is, in order then suddenly they hit something and their consciousness comes back, quite simply because it's then said that their astral body comes back into their body. It's their spirit. It's not an astral body. It's not something intermingled. It's not something which is another vehicle between the physical and the spirit. It is your spirit. That's what it is. The point is that physical people, unfortunately, have this presumption that the spirit or whatever has to be actually firmly implanted in the physical state. But what our point is here is quite simply that the spirit always remains in the spirit world. There is no spirit in the physical state. It's just that there happens to be a link between your spirit, which is permanently in the spirit world, and your physical body, which is permanently in the physical world. And what happens when you have an out-of-body experience? Your consciousness takes a ride with your spirit elsewhere. Where does that leave your physical body? Lying in a heap, being a slab of meat upon a flat surface. And your physical body continues to breathe. Why? Quite simply because your spirit, your consciousness, not your subconsciousness, because your subconsciousness is what's dealing with the anatomical effects of keeping your physical body state intact. If it were to be that your subconscious state were to move with your conscious journey as well, with your spirit, you would be dead. It's as simple as that.
So that indicates that there's a splitting, but you know the divide between your subconscious and your conscious.
Well, of course,
but
yes, there has to be, because
being a human being, though,
yes, I'm aware of that. But the point is that what you have to understand is your subconscious state is what actually continues to control and accelerate and look after the motability, the physical attributes of that which keeps your physical body alive. The continuing pumping of your physical heart, the raising and lowering, breathing in and out of your lungs in order to allow oxygen to continue to circulate. All of these regular motor circulatory inferences, the infrastructure, if you like, of your physical state, they continue, and it is your subconscious which allows that still to happen.
Does your subconscious do other things as well, apart from things that you have no control over?
Yes, also senses temperature and that kind of thing, whilst you are in a sleep state or having an out-of-body experience. It is your subconscious which alerts you as to how it is that you may be needed to come back with your spirit. And don't forget that your consciousness is joined with your physical body through your etheric bead. And that, too, is a part of how your spirit is attached to it. Your consciousness is only having a journey with your spirit. Why not? It's a part of your spirit all the time. And what we're trying to educate people to do is for their consciousness to get in touch with their spirit aspect. So this doesn't mean to say that when you meditate, you get in touch with your astral body and you locate your astral body and communicate with that. You are using your consciousness to accent your spirit, which also has a consciousness too. That doesn't mean to say that whilst you are having a physical life, that your spirit has no consciousness and it relies completely upon your physical body and doing and well-being and your physical bidding as well in order to organize it. Because don't forget that it may well be that your consciousness of your physical journey may at times come to visit your spirit as a separate entity, a completely separate being, quite simply because you're a physical state. And whilst you are in the physical body, your consciousness relies upon the physical body to keep it in check. You logical, conscious being to make decisions. If this were not the case, and you were relegating your life to your astral body or to your spirit all the time, then you could quite easily say that those people who create negativity and intense pain upon others are a bad spirit, because it would be the spirit who would be initiating it. But what I'm saying here is that your spirit is always beautiful. Always. There is never a time when your spirit is ugly.
Okay.
It is the physical state, that consciousness, that becomes ugly and denigrates your spirit.
Mm. Which is your mind.
In times of negativity, which is your mind. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So we'll move on to the things we talked about last week in a moment. But just while we're talking about the subconscious role, in the spirit world, how is the consciousness, because it's the consciousness that goes with your spirit when you pass, so that's why you've got your mind and everything else.
And your subconscious, of course.
And your subconscious.
All of it leaves.
So does your subconscious have a different role in your welfare and well-being and what happens to you in the spirit world, or is this then a whole?
It is actually a whole. It's a unified force. But what actually your subconscious does as a part of the memory recall for your spirit and the journey, which upon reflection perhaps of some parts of the journey, or maybe what you felt like, or perhaps it may be that, shall we say, in the spirit world, you wish to reenact something of your physical life, perhaps to do with a certain cherished memory, or maybe for some people it might be a negative memory because they have some situation or issue that they need to overcome. This means then that what they're doing is they're actually accessing this memory through the subconscious state. Now, this may be that you are talking about, issues to do with perhaps an accident or the way that you were treated. Shall we say that you as a being were had your life taken away by somebody else or some other people? And it may well be that it's your subconscious state that has to be readied and made whole or healed in some way in order to reflect this overcoming of these powers of subservience and negativity which you had endured in your physical life.
And I am an independent researcher. Many of you have identified my site under my name of partisan.com. I'm an independent researcher of what I call the aerosol issue, aerosol burns.
Hello, friend.
I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that, everybody.
Hello, friend.
No, I think it's
a recording.
Okay, maybe we're back on okay now, I hope.
Yes, one hopes so.
Okay, can you remember what you were saying? Never mind.
So what I'm saying then, friends, is that the situation, you see, is that then if you have a condition to do with your consciousness, as I was saying, to do with well-being, that it is actually to do with the whole and complete situation of the consciousness that has to be repaired. It's also, of course, to do with issues of the subconscious, as I was saying.
Mm.
Now, it may well be that some people are actually, how should we say, they become hung up. They become having difficulties over the issue of what they think their consciousness is. That very often is something which becomes illuminated in the physical life journey. It may well be, of course, that the person themselves actually thinks very highly of themselves, perhaps reflects very deeply upon their knowledge and their reflective his understanding. It may even be that they would consider themselves as a spirit traveler way beyond the concept or understanding of other mortal lives. The point that I'm coming to here is that there becomes this separation from the real true consciousness. Because what is actually happening in this situation is they have raised themselves above, created this status which appears to be inflicting some inferior status upon others who do not have that gift or who do not have that separation.
Well, that's ego, isn't it?
However, well, yes, of course. But what I'm really meaning here is that some people actually have this as a part of their reflective state, quite simply because they misinterpret where they think they are in their journey of evocation, their journey of their walk of life, so as to make it understood that perhaps their relationship with their spirit, or nay, their astral body, is something superior to that of others' intentions. And what we're here saying is that every single being living at this present time in physical life is currently beautiful. It doesn't matter what they've done in physical life. It does not matter what state they have created. Each and every single being can come into the understanding and journey of beauty and remembrance of that beauty with, quite simply, the super consciousness of their own consciousness and their spirit.
Yes. In their life's the rub, isn't it, really? That's what it's all about, really, and that's what BBS and all of these wonderful people that are trying to instill some spiritual values into people are really basically trying to get across, that everybody can make an improvement within themselves and to affect everybody else on the planet that we live on, if they would only just listen to their inner spirit, their higher consciousness, isn't it?
Yes, and unfortunately, for many, what they listen to is the sound of their voice rather than their spirit.
Yes.
And rather than the connection that they can help others make about the beauty within themselves, the absolute purity within themselves that exists just as beautiful as they are.
Okay, well, what about, because you were saying about the subconscious, we were talking about the subconscious role in the spirit world and the consciousness. So this means that it's that act that happens, say, here, where you say the subconscious looks after the physical body, while the consciousness goes and takes the spirit on a journey, or with the spirit.
Yes.
And so this means then that when you create the indivisibility in the spirit world, when you are able to do that, that is the consciousness again splitting itself, is it?
Yes, different parts of the consciousness become so akin and in tryst with the spirit body that it becomes that because the spirit body is so pure and beautiful, that the consciousness vibration is actually accelerated by that union. And what then happens is that the acceleration causes the possibility of the spirit and the consciousness from that physical state of life to actually have access, much greater access, to realms and dimensions in the spirit world, multidimensionally accessing these different facets of life that enable that beautiful spirit to further create and beautify the life of all.
Mm.
The point is, it's not to beautify the life of the one sole individual. The work in the spirit world is to beautify all.
But it means it's just an advancement on that, and it just means that you can be in more than one place at one time through doing that.
Yes.
So really, an out-of-body experience is a slight version on that. It's like a little practice. selfish run, I suppose.
Oh, yes, that's
what I mean.
Isn't it?
Oh,
yes. Which is why, in fact, we try to encourage people to actually be able to have time for themselves to sit in short meditations and that kind of thing, so as to allow them, help them to gain access, reduce the fear that they have of themselves, realize the beautiful and amazing, singularly amazing empathy that exists of the actual conscious physical state with that spirit. That is you. It's what makes it so that when you are absolutely in tune with your spirit, you make all the right choices, the right pathways. I'm not saying that it means that those people who do not make the right choices are then necessarily lacking in their spirit contact. Sometimes this may be created or caused by forces outside of the present physical body or outside of the present location of the spirit. Within, I understand, within the spirit harbor line, but still, there may well be situations when that beautiful, pure spirit of yours does not communicate with your physical body, with your conscious thought, quite simply because your conscious thought doesn't actually want to interact with it because it's so negative and so dysphoric. You see?
Well, this is how people can do bad things, because they're not listening to their spirit.
Yes, and that
because
is...
Because it can't get through.
Exactly so, and that is how we have to change mind.
Yes.
The important point, however, I must stress again and again, is that people actually understand that their beautiful and superior part of self is actually to do with something that's always existed. It's not something that's alien to them, even though they may have been through very difficult times in their past. It is something which is a purpose so that the individual being is enlightened by the presence of that beautiful spirit which is you. Because that is bringing you into divine accent with yourself. That's the beauty of it, really. And it's just quickly to say as well that the situation of the subconsciousness in the spirit world is really to do with the memories of motability for the spirit when wanting to remember situations of the physical body presence. So to do with what it actually felt like to have a heart and lungs and all of that, what it felt like to have a respiratory system and various circulatory systems of the physical state. And it's actually through the subconscious, which actually had a time spent in the physical body, that creates that well-being and creates that memory. So that at times, it may be that the spirit actually wants to completely remember all of that journey experience. And that is what enables that your consciousness, once in departed to our side of life, is able then to remember all of those facsimiles of your physical body presence.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international call is, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222. And if you do give us a call, then Spirit Gregory will answer your question about, we've moved on to out-of-body experiences and that sort of thing. But are near-death experiences the same as out-of-body experiences?
Well, they can quite easily be, yes. Many people, I understand, particularly during operations or perhaps during sites of injury and that kind of thing, can have an out-of-body experience. And it may well be that the situation that they have recovered is not just to do with their own physical life, but to do with memories and relationships of their past relationships, if you'd like, to do with their presence as a spirit being helping others. Now, this is a part of the pathway that is often confusing because people these different tolerances. But actually, that's because the reason for the juxtaposition, the place of where you think you are at that time, is in relation to the fact that you are still really having a physical body experience. And what you're actually